This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Boomer Geo coming to you live from the Bill Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Some of my favorite 80s electronica coming back from break. Always a great one. You know what fascinates me? How we process these quarterbacks. Like when they're the second overall draft pick, and everybody expects them to do well. It's always like, you know, man, this guy stinks. He didn't make it. He's a bust. But then when that person is like a backup somewhere or, you know, lands on another team, it's like, ooh, well, maybe this is the place. And I blame Sam Darnold for that because Sam Darnold.
How about Baker Mayfield?
But Baker got a raw deal in Cleveland. Nobody thought that Baker was a bust or terrible. You know, the Cleveland Browns made a mistake.
Yeah,
you know?
You're right. You're
and he
right.
came back hurt that year. So maybe more so Geno Smith.
Geno Smith,
Sam Darnold, those guys. But it's just, it really is funny how that works. Like it's when you draft a guy high or pay him a bunch of money, everybody's just waiting to drag that person down. But then when they've been dragged all the way down, then it's like, all right, let's try to build them up here.
It happens in hockey all the time. And the Rangers had two first-round draft choices, Kaapo Kakko and Filippito. They sent them away. They figured, you know what? They're not doing anything here. They're not doing anything spectacular here. They're not living up to their future. The teams that acquire them say, you know, let's get these guys, let's give them power play time, let's put them out on the ice longer, let's see what happens, and maybe they have a modicum of success.
Oh, yeah. Wow, Boomer weaved hockey into this conversation.
And the Rangers do the same thing all the time.
Yeah.
They bring in these former first-round picks, and they say, let's give them a shot, and everybody gets all excited, and then they come here and they do nothing.
Yeah, I mean, it is an interesting thing. Like, and we've seen that with the Mets in the past and the Jets in the past. It's like if you leave here somehow, all of a sudden you become some great player. But, yeah, I don't know if that happens with Zach Wilson, but I will say he's in there's a lot of backup quarterbacks that would like to be in that position. Let's put it that way.
Yes, you're
lot
exactly right. But I would say, again, just in defense of Zach for a second, you know, here you got this kid coming from BYU. It's kind of like when they drafted Sam Darnold. They drafted Sam Darnold. He's 20 years old out of USC. He's a kid.
Yeah,
well. And when we met Zach Wilson, he was a kid. I mean, like, you could just see it in his face just how immature these kids were. And then you're expecting them to be the starting quarterback, not of the Carolina Panthers like Bryce Young, not of the Jacksonville Jaguars like Trevor Lawrence. It's the goddamn New York Jets with rookie head coaches, rookie coordinators.
Yeah.
And you're expecting them to go out there and have some sort of success, as opposed to, like, say, Jaden Daniels, who's got a real head coach and he's got a real offensive coordinator who was a head coach and who was a very successful head coach in college.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that we said at the time, coming out of nowhere, it felt like all the way up to number two. We know he's going to get drafted maybe in the top two rounds, but not number two overall. And just BYU, Utah, to the Jets.
God, I pray to God, you know, and this is one of the reasons why I do like that the Jets did sign Justin Fields. It's not that it's going to make them any better, but maybe it keeps them away from drafting one of these young quarterbacks with their first round pick. You know, because, you know, you're not going to have Justin Fields under $40 million worth of contract and bring in a first-round draft choice as a quarterback. I hope that doesn't happen.
Yeah, I don't think that it will. Not this year.
Just let Justin and Tyrod Taylor handle the team. Maybe you get a late-round draft choice that is a quarterback, and who knows? Who knows what's going on with this Florida State kid now?
Yeah.
With the injury and the Jets, supposedly, according to his
Jordan
agent.
Jordan Travis.
Which I don't believe. You know, I think it's Jordan Travis probably wanted to get on the field somehow.
Yeah, so if people aren't familiar with the story, so I guess it was Jordan Travis with the injury that he had last year, and the Jets knew about the injury. His agent put out there that he felt like the Jets rushed him back and ended up making it worse because of pressure from ownership that were on the coaches, which that's why I don't believe it, because there was so much pressure everywhere on Rob Saleh and Joe Douglas. Getting Jordan Travis healthy was not one of the things that I think was...
Like at the forefront of everybody's brain.
I mean, my God, they had so many things going on. Unless Woody Johnson was obsessed with Jordan Travis and thought he needed a play, which I mean, someone would have come out and said that during all that reporting that was going on.
You know, I don't think the Jets... I was thinking about this last night. I don't think the Jets have ever had a quarterback like Justin Fields. Can you think of one?
No.
What I mean by that is, I mean, an athletic running quarterback that will do things, you know, and they'll have certain plays for him. And I'm sure they'll try to put him in a situation where he's going to be successful and Garrett Wilson's going to get most of the targets. But I don't think the Jets have ever had a quarterback like this.
Yeah, I mean, quarterbacks like this didn't play as much in the past.
I don't know. Yeah, I had Randall Cunningham. You had Michael Vick. You had Steve Young. You had guys that ran.
Yeah, but not... I mean, there's a lot of guys who run now. It's just different. There's...
Yeah, but the Jets still haven't had one.
No, they haven't. I mean, Ray Lucas? I mean, I don't... You know, that's the closest I can come up with.
Yeah, I don't see anybody on the list that CBS Sports Network has
up
there right
now. Michael Vick, but that was like, you know...
That was back in 14, but he didn't really play here that much.
No.
Most of the guys, Sanchez, McElroy, Geno Smith, Fitzpatrick... McCown, Trevor Siemian, Mike White, Joe Flacco, Sam Darnold, they're all the same guy. Aaron Rodgers. I mean, they're all pocket passers is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And they don't extend plays. And that's why it makes sense for the Jets to sign a guy like Justin Fields. Just to give you a different look, a different way of doing things. Who knows? Maybe he and Tyrod will share.
Yeah, I mean, that's the old adage, right? If you got two quarterbacks,
you don't have one. Yeah, I know that.
You don't have a quarterback.
We know that.
Yeah, that's one of those things. I think Justin Fields should probably start, you know, he should take every snap. And as far as what the Jets are trying to do, Justin Fields is just fine. He really is for this year.
He fits exactly what they should be doing.
Let's go to Linda in Long Beach. What's going on, Linda?
Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning. It's a pleasure to talk to you both.
Well, thank you, Linda. What's happening today?
You know, I kind of hope Justin Fields turns into Darnold, or another one of these quarterbacks that was like thrown to the trash heap and, you know, kind of bloom a little bit later. I know Darnold took a little bit longer, but you know, when you give a guy like Zach Wilson, who's a baby, $30 million, you're going to put him on the field, whether he's ready or not. And he obviously wasn't ready. You know, it just, and you know, this guy like Mekhi Becton, you know, it just makes me sick that the Jets couldn't figure out how to get the most out of a guy that's that large.
Yeah, but let me ask you this, Linda. When does personal responsibility come into play here? When is it the player that has to figure out how to grow up and become the player that he became last year in Philadelphia? And if he is so good, Philadelphia still hasn't signed him yet. He's out there as a free agent, so anybody can still sign him if they want.
I understand, and I agree. But I think that there was a lack of respect for Saleh, because Saleh let the players run the field and run everything else. And I think that definitely influenced what was going on with these players. That we're not held responsible for their lack of play. But what I say is that they, I don't think that they took and got the most out of the players because they had no vision.
Yeah, I mean, you're probably right about that to a certain degree. I mean,
well, they got two guys, you know, Sauce Gardner and Garrett Wilson are supposed to be two of the best players at their position.
Yeah.
They also have Quinnen Williams and Quincy Williams. They got the best out of those guys. Hey, by the way, you know, the thing about, like, you know, the whole Zach Wilson, Sam Darnold, Mark Sanchez, you know, it's not like the Jets haven't tried. They have tried. They've drafted high. And it just, and again, they asked these kids to step in and do things, and then they mishandle them. And the environment has not been what I would consider the perfect environment for a quarterback to succeed here. And now the Jets are doing this all over again.
Same type of deal.
Same thing. Now, that's why I'm happy. Doesn't look like they're going to be drafting a kid in the first round. And hopefully they don't. But, and then give Aaron a year. But let him get his feet underneath him. Let him control the team. Let him be the face of the team. And then maybe next year they get to draft the quarterback of their choice.
Yeah. Defensive head coach who's a first-timer. Young offensive coordinator who's a first-timer. General manager who's never held that position before, who wasn't interviewed or offered any other jobs.
They did it again.
I mean,
they did it. They did exactly what they always do.
And I actually think it's worse from the general manager standpoint because you remember they had to give Joe Douglas a big deal to come here. And he was the next guy. And the Philadelphia loved him, and the Ravens loved him, and he was just like the next GM, and it was such a great GM, and it was such a big deal that they went and got Joe Douglas. Darren Mucci was like...
And if Zach Wilson would have turned out to be something...
Then we'd all...
They'd all still be here.
Yeah, of course. I mean, that's...
And that's exactly what we're talking about in regards to the Giants. Because the Giants now are stuck. They're stuck with what? What are they doing?
They're going to have to bring in a veteran and then draft a guy and hope that that guy that they draft turns out to be their future at the position. That's it. That's their only, that's the only way out for them. That's the only way out. Got to hope that one of those guys is the next Giants quarterback, you know, for the next decade.
I've been sitting here for 18 years watching this.
Yeah. And you're watching this happen?
Yeah, I am. And we've been watching this happen. And it's just been like a reoccurring nightmare.
Yeah. Listen, I'm not saying
the guys aren't trying to win. Of course they are. They're trying to make decisions that they think are in the best interest of the team and to try to win. That's what they're supposed to do. That's what they get paid to do.
So, we have been on board with some of these decisions and a lot of them not. I mean, I did not like the Zach Wilson pick. I did like the Sam Darnold pick. I did not like the taking Saquon at number two. I did like Evan Neal and Kayvon Thibodeau. Like, there's, you know,
you just never know with these kids.
Right. I mean,
everybody thought Mekhi Becton. I wanted Tristan Wirfs.
Yeah.
Because I want that lineman who's also a wrestler in high school and college. Give me that guy, that lineman that does that sport as well.
Yeah.
He could play for me anytime because if he's a wrestler, he's disciplined and he knows what toughness is all about because being in that ring for that long. You know, that is a level of toughness and understanding that, you know, a lot of guys don't have unless they play that sport.
And that's why we're going to start the pipeline from Japan to the NFL of the sumo wrestlers. And we're going to start that. And Al and I have already reached out and to the Jets and Giants and sent tape of the Micah Parsons getting steamrolled by the sumo wrestler and said, listen, guys, you haven't had a lot of success here. You can get these guys on the cheap. They're not going to talk back. Because they can't.
It's like getting those Australian rules football punters.
Yeah. And get these guys
like
over
this
here.
This is going to be like a game changer.
Yes. I don't feel like it. I know it will be. And then you're just going to see full offensive lines filled with sumo wrestlers.
You know.
You'll see.
I mean, if the Giants go quarterback at number three, that means it's probably going to be Shador. Yeah. As opposed to Mason Graham or potentially Travis Hunter. Or potentially Abdul Carter. Man, Mason Graham would be great in the middle of that defense. He would be like the missing link in that defense, on that defensive line.
I mean, if they don't draft a quarterback, they're signing their death certificate.
No, it depends on who they sign as a veteran quarterback.
Does it?
I think so, yeah.
So, all right, out of those
two. It doesn't mean they can't draft one later on in the second round.
So you think
maybe trade back up into the first round and go get maybe Jackson Dart or something.
So you think that there's a chance that Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers could win enough games for them, even though they're not the future, to keep Joe Shane and Brian Daboll there?
I think if they show vast improvement, let's just say they sign Aaron Rodgers and they go 9-8 and maybe they just miss the playoffs, but Mason Graham is rookie of the year and their defense is really starting to come on. Or Abdul Carter is another edge rusher to add to the mix with Kayvon Thibodeau and Brian Burns. Oof. I mean, I don't know. It's going to be really interesting to see who's sitting there at number three. And, you know, they also have Will Campbell sitting there.
I mean, if they don't go quarterback and they're basically
It all depends on who they sign as the veteran quarterback. That's really what
But, all right, so I'm assuming it's going to be one of the two of Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers. So basically what you're doing is you're now, and whether they're comfortable with that or not, they're basically pinning their futures on one of those two guys to give them a winning record or take them to the playoffs.
You know what?
That's the situation they're in.
All right, but if you don't do that, you don't do that, and you draft one of these quarterbacks and you play that kid.
No, you got to do both, I think. I think what you need to do is you got to do both. You got to bring in a veteran. You got to draft a kid.
You get your best veteran quarterback. You draft number three, one of these top defensive players or the offensive lineman. I would go defense. And then try to trade back up in the first round, because you do now got you have another compensatory pick, which is going to be a pick that they could use to kind of maybe sweeten the pot to get up in the first round.
You trade those?
Yeah, sure you can.
Okay.
And then maybe all of a sudden, maybe Jackson Dart is sitting there, and then you could draft him. I mean, that if they can come out of this, let's say a Jackson Dart and a Mason Graham, or Jackson Dart and a Abdul Carter, or Jackson Dart and a Travis Hunter.
Well, this is the thing I don't understand.
Win.
But, all right, so people always talk about, like, the next guy after the first two. So if we don't like the first two guys, then why do we like the guy that's a consensus worse than them?
You know why? Because he's later in the first round.
Still a first-round pick.
I understand that, but your first round, the first overall pick, and your number three overall pick has to be a starter. If that's Shador, he's starting on week one.
Nah, I don't know about that. If you signed Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson and drafted one of those guys, they don't have to start week one.
We're speculating right now. I'm just saying we have to see who they're going to sign as a veteran quarterback. That's what we have to see first. And that will give us maybe an inkling as to what they're going to do in the draft. But I'm just saying they need a Mason Graham or an Abdul Carter would be amazing.
And I think if you draft a guy late in the first round
And by the way, it would also light a fire under Kayvon Thibodeau, or maybe they trade Kayvon.
So if you draft a guy late in the first round or early in the second round, I still think you're sending a message to your fans and your ownership that guy's going to be eventually the starter.
That's fine. As long as it all depends on who they sign as one of these veteran QBs that would probably come out of training camp as the starter, at least for the first 5 to 6 weeks, maybe how Kurt Warner was doing it for Eli. But then again, Eli was a really high draft choice, you know?
Yeah. Very high, as high as you can get.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. We've got CeeLo here, and he's got some stuff for us, some NFL, some Brian Cashman, as he was speaking yesterday and said some interesting things. What's up, Chris?
Brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire, nobody. Yeah, let's spend some time with Cash here. He did speak to the media yesterday, also did a one-on-one with Meredith Marakovic on Yes, which is where I believe most of this audio comes from, regarding the injuries to their pitching staff. Of course, headlined by Gerrit Cole, who departed town surrounded by an ominous vibe in Cash's eyes.
You know, when he left here in Tampa, I fully expected Tommy John was coming.
It's like the boogeyman or something. You know, Tommy John was coming. He's coming for us.
He knows.
Yeah. And those fears became reality after Cole's trip out
to
California.
They say it hurts right here. And they go, okay, we'll see you in about 17 months.
Essentially, yeah. Dr. Neil Elitrosh out there in California. And Cole's
going to be busy, by the way, not only Gerrit Cole, but... You know, I'm assuming Tiger Woods is going to go to him with his...
No, Tiger's had it done yesterday.
Oh, really?
In Florida.
It was in Florida.
Jeez.
Wow, you're right there, CeeLo.
Okay?
Fumble!
Jeez.
When did Tiger hurt his Achilles?
Yesterday, I guess.
No, he had the surgery done yesterday.
But it had to be hurt in the last TGL?
He played TGL last week. And he, you know, they were yucking it up, having a grand old time. Let me see here in the statement. Yes, this morning, Dr. Charlton Stuckin of Hospital for Special Surgery in West Palm Beach.
He went to Stuckin.
Performed a minimally invasive Achilles tendon repair for a ruptured tendon.
Elitrosh has got to be pissed that
mentally
he went to Stuckin.
Minimally invasive.
Is that like what Kirk Cousins had done, maybe? I don't know.
Minimally invasive.
I don't know.
If you have a rupture, it's not minimally invasive.
Yeah, that was an odd wording. But as I began to ramp up my own training and practice at home, I felt a sharp pain in my left Achilles, which was deemed to be ruptured. And then that's the part where he gets into the surgery that went down yesterday morning. So no timetable for his return, but
man, how many surgeries is that for him?
It's, I believe,
more than majors,
four or five since January of 2021. So he's going to be 50 in December. I mean, his body basically has been put through the ringer for a variety of reasons. I mean,
ever since that car wreck, man.
Huh? Yeah, but I mean, the
car wreck really ruined
a ton of back surgeries. It's just it's not a good scene. So I don't know when we'll see him next, if at all, as far as the PGA Tour or competitive golf is concerned.
Ambassador time. I'll give him my sash. Be the ambassador.
I mean, he's almost there already.
He kind of is the ambassador for TGL.
Well, he owns it, so yeah, him and Rory, but
and Steve Cohen.
Well, he owns a team, Steve Cohen. Does he own part of the whole league? Maybe. Probably. Steve Cohen owns a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
A lot of things. All right. So what else there with
Cashman?
Yeah,
that's a bummer about Tiger. So Cole got the surgery done yesterday morning, but at the time Cashman spoke, still weren't sure which procedure he had done.
Once we get the reports about an internal braces, straight Tommy John's possible. I think it just depends on what he sees when he's in there.
So I guess if they went in and found it wasn't terrible and it's internal brace, maybe it knocks off some of the recovery time, but it's going to be a while, so we'll have to see about that. Now Cashman acknowledged it's much harder to add a starter right now as opposed to in season and closer to the trade deadline, which isn't until July 31st. Plus they had a harder time bringing in guys for a look here in spring training based on the way their depth stacked up prior to all these injuries,
because we looked like we were so deep starting rotation wise so they non-roster invites were looking for opportunities, so they would like, no, I don't see how I can crack that staff. Well, I think if they had a chance to redo it, they'd look at our situation now and be like, oh, we're all in.
It is deflating that the Yankees are talking about having Carlos Carrasco potentially in their rotation to begin the year.
I mean, they're more than talking about it. I mean, it seems like that's the likely situation at this point. Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know why I'm so hung up on this after I heard CeeLo say this morning, but like,
C-Mac.
What did I say now?
No. C-Mac driving in. Is that they're not going to move Max Fried to be the opening day starter. Like, after everything that happened to you with Gerrit Cole being out for the year and Marcus Stroman scrubbing his Instagram of all Yankees stuff, You give how many years? 8 years, a gazillion dollars to Max Fried, and you're still a chance. You're throwing either Rodon or Marcus Stroman out there for opening day. It just seems horrible. And I know it's one game, but it's like, at least here's our big free agent signing on opening day.
Yeah.
Can you at least do that?
And the amazing thing, opening day is at Yankee Stadium.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why wouldn't you want to be the opening day starter? I mean, I'd be like, give me the ball.
I know. This is what I'm saying. It's not on the road.
Didn't we do this last year with Stroman?
Hey, we did. Skip, give me the ball, man. I got the ball. I'll take it from you.
This was with Stroman with the home opener, right? Wasn't it that?
Yeah, it was. It was Stroman with the home opener. Yeah. But didn't they start the season on the road?
Yes, that's what
it was.
It's a little different.
This is Yankee Stadium.
Yeah. Right.
But we're talking about the first.
You got the Canyon of Heroes out there. You got all the ghosts of the great players of past. They're all going to be there.
It's been a tough spring training, but Max Fried is huge signing.
For all we know, Max Fried was like, I'm game. And the Yanks are like, look, we can't afford any more injuries. So I want to know that.
Does Brian Cashman say that or not?
Not that I'm aware of.
Did Max Fried want the ball?
We'll have to.
This is important.
Or did the Yankees say to him, you're not pitching opening day because we need to keep you on your little schedule there so we protect you?
He wanted the ball, but they're not giving him the ball.
I want to know that.
We'll have to.
I think it's important to see what type of makeup we got here with this Max Fried. Can he handle New York?
Get Cashman or Booney on the phone. We just want to ask him one question.
Cash.
Wake him up.
We want to ask them one question. Did Max Fried want the ball for opening day on March 27th or not? And let's say it's raining on March 27th.
Oh, boy. Then what?
And they can't play. Mm. And they move it to March 28th. Is that a day that he can pitch? What are we doing?
By the way, opening day, Thursday at 3 p.m. That's a strange one, isn't it?
Well, it's on ESPN. So.
Oh, yeah, I know.
It's like the last ESPN broadcast or something.
The last one ever?
They're going to shut it down?
Oh, yeah. Maybe.
I want to see if there's any further detail mentioned in the stories written about this.
Oh, you do your update. I'll check that out. How about that, CeeLo?
That sounds like a good idea.
Did you get Cash on the phone yet?
Not yet.
Okay.
another thing McMonagle was
Booney?
On.
Is he available?
Also not yet.
I mean, he does, you know, he seems to have a really good relationship with Sal and BT. Maybe they'll find out the answer.
Maybe they could text him and then he could text us.
Yes. Well, Max wanted the ball, but we decided, you know.
So this is, I found the headline. I'm going to read through the article here as long as it's not a Post Sports Plus. Narrowing down Yankees opening day starter choices with Max Fried unlikely to get the ball.
I was just on that. Now you're on it.
Okay. It doesn't really line up for him to do that, manager Aaron Boone said.
What do you mean it doesn't line up?
Well, they've got him on a schedule, Boomer.
Fried is scheduled to start Thursday and likely will start once more in the Grapefruit League, positioned to get the ball for game two of the season.
Mm.
Boone would not divulge the identity of his opening day starter. He expects to make the announcement soon. But the process of elimination hints that Carlos Rodon and Marcus Stroman are the candidates.
Wouldn't it be fitting if it's Stroman after all we went through with that?
Yeah, I know. You can't. You can't.
8 years, $218 million, and you can't pick up the ball and be the ace of the staff one day or opening day on the Yankees?
Let's not kill him yet.
What the hell's wrong with you guys?
Until we know more about what Max Fried is willing to do and not
I guess this is the Yankee way. Is that what it is now?
It's one out of 162, Boomer, if we really boil it down. You know?
But it really isn't.
But we want answers.
Yeah, I know.
This is opening day.
It's opening day at home, and then on top of it, you had such a miserable spring, and you lost. Like, Yankee fans would feel so much better if Max Fried went out there, gave you six shutout innings.
Sure would.
They'd be like, okay, we're going to be all right.
I think they would be happy with 4 1/3 shutout innings.
Probably.
And 65 pitches.
In late March, in the opener, yeah.
God almighty.
Probably what you're looking at. Another thing McMonagle was on that you probably heard, Gio, he wants the Yankees spending this insurance money they're getting for Gerrit Cole. $27 million.
I actually didn't hear that.
Okay.
But okay.
Yeah. So they get, I guess, 75% of the salary, which is $27 million. But now here's the part where Boomer's going to say, "Wow, well, how much were they paying in premium? So is it really $27 million? Are they going to reinvest all that?" So I know you know you're big on those numbers.
Yes,
but
I
they
am.
Are going to get some money back for Cole.
Oh, that's good. I'm so happy.
So McMonagle wants to see them use that to
didn't
acquire.
They raise ticket prices this year.
Probably.
Right.
I mean, who isn't raising?
Yeah, the Mavericks did. So that means everybody did.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Now, we're looking forward to hearing Dave Sims and Susan Waldman together for the first time as the new Yankees radio broadcast duo. I think that's coming up Friday here on The Fan. But Dave was here in studio with BT and Sal yesterday.
It's like to be with you guys. It's like to be back part of
Congrats,
The Fan.
Congrats, man.
This is the best.
Welcome back home.
Amen, brother.
And as it turns out, probably psyched he wasn't still doing his most recent job as Mariners play-by-play man, dangerous spring training booth out there in Arizona.
Now the set by Vargas. Here's the pitch. Swing and a foul.
Did it get you?
It got him.
Did it get you?
Yeah. Veteran play-by-play man, you know, Rick Riz, who took one right off the noggin. And there was enough immediate concern that his partner quickly did this.
Hey, we're going to take a quick break here. We'll come back right after this.
Now, it was right in the middle of an inning. You know, he was calling.
Think he does that in a regular season?
I don't know.
Probably not, right?
But he was definitely shaking.
Drag him right out of there.
You got to drag him out of there, and you got to take over. What are you going to do?
I feel bad because I was kind of mocking this guy with Al this morning when we brought up this story because I just figured he froze and didn't want to do play-by-play, but I think he really was.
He got hit in the head with the ball.
Concerned. No. The partner that he didn't want, you know what I mean? But he was concerned for Rick Riz.
He should
and they
have
did actually have medical personnel, and I think the Mariners training staff come up into the booth to check him out. Thankfully, he was okay and was eventually able to continue the broadcast.
I just want to let you know I'm okay. I got a good size bump on my head, but I'm going to be okay. My mom always said I had a hard head, Gary, so it paid off today. I could not believe that ball got up here that quickly. It was coming at my face. Yeah. I turned, got me in the back of the head.
And apparently, it was a very small opening, so somehow that was able to slip through there and strike him.
You know when he went down and you heard those sounds, it kind of sounded like the Eddie Gargle sounds that he plays. Like if you listen back to that, he goes down to the ground.
Set by Vargas. Here's the pitch. Swing and a foul.
Did it get you?
Do you hear it when he goes down?
Yeah.
Did it get you?
Glad he's okay.
That's like when Randy got hit in a ham hock.
Oh my god. Yeah, that sounded like a full peen hammer on a prosciutto.
Yeah.
Whack. It actually plugged into
his ass.
Oh jeez.
We had to pop it out.
Of course this all hits home for us a little bit here in New York because it wasn't that long ago.
Now the 3-2 swung on a pop foul back here.
Ow! Ow! Ow!
It really hit me. I didn't know it was coming back that far.
Yeah, well, John, the pro that he was, you know, finished out the call there and finished out that game no problem. But he was a little nimbler years ago back in the day in similar situations.
Here's the 1-2. Swung on, pop foul. Right under our booth, it banged against the little wall here, which is still standing, thank goodness. Susan cut to her right, I cut to my left.
All right, I know when to go under the table.
Well, the count remains 1-2.
Oh, boy.
I remember that now. I didn't remember it from the beginning part of that, but that, of course, famous Susan line, yeah. I do remember.
There's another one. The sound effect was even better.
Hey, swung on and pop foul right back here.
Bang!
Into our booth.
Boy.
I did a masterful job of ducking out of the way. Susan wins a vote for mayor by giving the ball to the crowd right in back of us, right in front of us.
Wow.
What a job Susan Waldman did. Yay.
You know what? I think we may have an answer to our Max Fried question.
Okay.
Chris in Brooklyn. Chris, what's happening?
Hey, Boomer and Gio. Good morning, fellas. How you doing?
Hey, what's up, man? Chris? What's going on?
You know, big Yankee fan, so you know, equally as frustrated. But I'm thinking Max may have some great ideas here, and maybe it's a Mercury retrograde day, and there's a reason why he doesn't want to start.
You know what, Chris?
Has the full season in mind, guys. You know, and he's not looking at the single day, but the greater picture of things, and maybe the stars just aren't aligning that day.
You know, great point. I hadn't thought of that. You know,
when is his birthday? His birthday's in January, so see a Sagittarius late January.
I'm late January. I'm an Aquarius.
What?
I'm the 24th.
He's the 18th.
So I would think Aquarius, right? Maybe I'm right on the. You said late January. That's middle January.
Middle January. I'm sorry.
Let's see. Aquarius dates.
He's Capricorn.
He is. January 20th starts Aquarius.
So he's, what is he?
Said, Capricorn.
Yeah, Capricorn.
He's a Capricorn.
I don't know what that means, but there you go.
It means he's a wuss.
No. Wuss bag.
Wuss bag.
Maybe Mars is in his retrograde.
Schlop face.
Said, says this of Capricorns. They're said to prefer stability.
Oh.
And take time to trust.
Yep, there you go.
Well, there you go. This
doesn't
is why we got to wait an extra day now.
Exactly.
Doesn't want the ball.
It is Capricorn.
So what
happens?
Let me ask you a question. So is he starting the next day, which would be 2 days later?
Right, because you get the off day built in for a rainout.
So, but if you get two rainouts, then is he starting?
These are all good questions.
I need answers. I mean, Yankee fans deserve answers.
Well, these are all questions that Booney or Cash can answer for you once Al gets them on the line.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. So you see that the Mets are putting out on their YouTube channel a docuseries about Juan Soto's signing.
Yes.
Now, I'm torn on this one because I know that content and getting fans fired up is really important when it comes to the business. And I know that this was a huge signing and all of that is important. It's got the fan base into it, got season tickets being sold. We talk about how Josh Allen got the stadium built up in Buffalo. Well, Steve Cohen's hope is that the Juan Soto signing can get his whole project there around Citi Field. So that part I understand. The part I don't understand is we've seen a lot of sports around here. We've seen a lot of teams with expectations. If this doesn't work out, and this We Signed Juan Soto docuseries is out there, it's embarrassing. And let's win an NLCS and get to the World Series. Let's win a World Series. Then we can have our docuseries with Juan Soto and not so much the signing of Juan Soto.
I think it really is for the hardcore Met fan to follow, and I think it's a good PR move by Steve Cohen because he wants to let the Met fan know that we are spending money on our team and we will continue to spend money on our team. So the Met fan cannot argue or scream and yell about being, cheap and not spending money, even when the Wilpons were here, they did spend money.
Yeah.
They might not have spent it on the right people, or they brought the wrong people in running the organization. I think Omar Minaya did a great job when he was here. And he kind of had somewhat of a quasi-open checkbook.
Mm-hmm.
But then when we started getting into like the $225, $250 million, $275 million, now we're at $300 million, that's when the Wilpons decided to pull the plug.
Yeah.
Like, let somebody else handle it. We built the stadium. We built the building. You know, we're going to get our money out of it, and we'll sell it to the richest owner in Major League Baseball and let him spend his money. But he also has his eye, as you just pointed out, on a much bigger plan. And it's not just winning baseball games. He is a fan. He wants to win. He wants what he considers the best hitter in baseball on his team. And he wants to build that entire area around Citi Field into, you know, a go-to place to gamble, to stay overnight, to build condos, and have a main street on the river over there. I mean, he wants to do all of that.
Is this a touch the money spot?
I don't think so. I think it's a thing that hardcore Met fans will love. Like they want to see that. I mean, like how many times have we as Met fans not look forward to a season?
Yeah, I understand that. I just,
is what winning teams do, though.
Yeah, I know. Well, winning teams don't.
I mean, winning organizations.
Winning teams put out championship videos. Winning teams put out those things. They don't put out what they did in the offseason.
Yeah, but nowadays it's completely different. It's completely, I don't know if he sold this to YouTube or they're going to make any money off of it. But it's a way to really engage with the fans, which is what I think they're trying to do here.
Yeah, and that part I do understand. I let's have him get out there, do some things. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
if they did this after his first season, where he hit 40 home runs,
they may be following him around.
Yeah,
but then
just did like the whole thing, like the pursuit and getting them, and then he takes the Mets to the playoffs. Like I'd feel better about that. But just to release this now when nothing has happened. We have not seen him play a meaningful baseball game in a Mets uniform yet until the regular season starts. It feels a little touch the money to me. There's a lot of work to do, man. It's not about signing a contract. It's not about giving them the money. Winning the games.
But a lot of these teams around here, especially here, they want fan engagement. And this is what I would call a 100% fan engagement. I don't know how many other people are going to be interested in it.
No.
I do know that a lot of Met fans will watch it, and I think that's exactly what Steve and Alex Cohen are trying to do. They're trying to reach out to the Met fan, and this is a little bit of a PR thing that tells, you know, just how far Steve Cohen was willing to go for Juan Soto.
Juan Soto!
Right. I wish I would do one on Pete Alonso, too. That would be amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be a little more interested in that just to see the back and forth and if they had cameras on that lunch that they had down in Florida with Pete and Steve and David Stearns and Scott Boras. I would have liked to hear that.
Yeah.
And apparently Pete did all the talking, which would have been interesting.
He just, you know, at that time, if you remember, he just wanted to be wanted. Just wanted to feel like, do you really, really want me then? And, you know, they made him the highest paid first baseman in history. At least for 1 year.
It's that, who sang that song, I Want You to Want Me?
I want Cheap Trick you to want me.
What's that? There you go.
Cheap Trick.
Cheap Trick, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a great one, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that's what all I thought of there. Do you think that Pete Alonso sang that to Steve Cohen at that lunch? He's like, before we order our apps.
He may have.
I want you to want me. I need you to need me.
As a Met fan, I'm glad he's here. And I think he's going to have a huge season. I really do.
Huge. What's a huge season?
I would say 50-110.
Whoa. You got 50, back to the 50 home run play.
It's going to be huge.
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 Well, I hope so. That'd be great. Then they could put out a, maybe we'll actually have a championship video. We could put that out on YouTube for once.
I think he has an opportunity to really, I mean, with Soto in the lineup now, and hopefully Vientos gets out of his little spring training funk and gets it going by the time the season gets around. I mean, that's a pretty formidable top five or six.